Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh. Father in heaven, as we approach you on the Sabbath day, our hearts and minds turn to you and your scriptures, and we seek to know more of your will. We pray that you will guide us this day, our thoughts and what we think about, our goals are, that these would also be under your control. For this day is a day of special blessing from you as we worship you and honor you, the day you set aside as a day of rest and worship for us. We thank you, Almighty Yahweh, for the blessings you've given us each day. We know that we don't deserve them, but we also know that we are striving to walk in that narrow way, and that each of us will one day, be it your will, enter into the kingdom of everlasting life. We thank you for those who are here, those who are listening, wherever they might be. May they find a special blessing and encouragement in the words we speak this day. This prayer and petition now we ask in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Brother Jose mentioned the telecast scheduled for this Tuesday locally. I might mention also that we are on Jefferson City Public Cable Access already and have been for a couple months, and have plans to, if Yahweh's will is, that we would also be on cable access in Denver and also in northeastern New York State as well as Connecticut. So Yahweh is really, really blessing there as well. Upward potential, maybe 1 million people to hear Yahweh's word. And the great thing is we only have to pay for one of those five stations. So, and if anybody has a desire to have Yahweh's word in their neighborhood, they're certainly welcome to visit the website and find out if there is cable access in their community. Because one thing we want to do is use the time we have to greatest advantage of getting Yahweh's truth out. And speaking of that, a week ago I opened our paper and there was an article in there saying what we already seem to know, everything seemingly is spinning out of control. Midwestern levees are bursting, gas prices are skyrocketing, home values are abysmal, airfares, college tuition, and health care border on unaffordable. Wars without end rage in Iraq, Afghanistan, and against terrorism. Recent natural disasters around the world dwarf anything afflicting the U.S. We'll get into that a little later. Food is becoming scarcer and more expensive on a worldwide scale. It goes on and talks a little bit about what we see. I can't go into detail for lack of time, but it says at the end, why the vulnerability? After all, this is the 21st century, not a more primitive past when little in life was assured. Surely people know how to fix problems now. Maybe. And maybe this is what the 21st century will be about. A great unraveling of some things long taken for granted. Have you noticed that just recently catastrophic events are ramping up in number and also severity? It's just as Yahshua said it would be. One thing after another would occur simultaneously or in rapid succession. And that seems to be the only way that Yahweh can get the attention of the masses. People are starting to take notice now. And it started, I guess, with the gasoline price. And now they're seeing all sorts of things coming to pass. I went to the website and found a site called infoplease.com/worlddisasters/2008. Here are some disasters that have occurred just in the last 6 months, just in 2008. Tornado, January 7th and 8th. Notice the date, January 7th and 8th. You know, a time for snowstorms. In Arkansas, Illinois, Missouri, and Wisconsin, a series of tornadoes caused by record-breaking temperatures kill at least 6 people, including 2 children, destroy houses, and flood roads. Snowstorm, January 28th, eastern and southern China. Severe snowstorms leave at least 24 people dead and affect 78 million people overall, including 827,000 emergency evacuees. The cost of the storm is estimated to be $3.2 billion. That's in China. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, earthquake, at least 45 people are killed, and about 450 more injured after two strong earthquakes strike the Congo. Back to tornadoes. February 5th and 6th, southern tornadoes. At least 55 people are killed and hundreds more injured after violent tornadoes rip the southern U.S. According to emergency officials, the victims include 31 people in Tennessee, 13 in Arkansas, 7 in Kentucky, and 3 in Alabama. March, floods. March 17th to 19th, Arkansas, Illinois, Kentucky, and Missouri, and Ohio. 13 people die, hundreds of people are evacuated from their homes, and hundreds of roads are closed during major floods that stretch from Texas to Pennsylvania. That's, what, two-thirds of the country, brethren. These floods are still happening. 4 months of flooding in Mid-America, and I guess we had more rain last night. April 2008, disasters, sickness. Ongoing since January in Brazil, more than 80 people have died, and at least 75,399 infected in Rio de Janeiro since January during a dengue fever outbreak. May, last month, more storms. May 1st and 2nd, Arkansas, 7 people are killed and 13 more injured in Arkansas when storms hit 16 counties on a Thursday and Friday of May. Cyclone, Myanmar. May 3rd, Cyclone Nargis hits the Irrawaddy Delta and the city of Yangon, killing about, get this, 78,000 people. Most of the deaths and destruction were caused by a 12-foot-high tidal wave that formed during the storm. Cyclone Nargis is the worst natural disaster since the tsunami of 2004, which is only 4 years ago. May 11th, Oklahoma, Missouri, Georgia, more than 20 people die and hundreds more injured when tornadoes again hit the Midwest, Oklahoma, Missouri, Georgia, and Wisconsin. Racine, a town about 170 miles south of Kansas City, Missouri, saw the most damage, leaving about 9,000 people without electricity for over 3 days. Well, we had that too this last winter, didn't we? That ice storm. We were out electricity for about 3.5 days. Flooding. May 12th in China. Over 67,000 people die and hundreds of thousands more are injured when a 7.9, it doesn't get much worse than that, magnitude earthquake strikes Sichuan, Gansu, and Yunnan provinces in western China. Nearly 900 students were trapped when Jiuanan Middle School in Sichuan province collapsed from the quake. On May 19th, 158 rescue workers are killed in landslides caused by rain and floods. On May 27th, 150,000 people are evacuated from this one province in anticipated major floods. June, where we are right now, June 9th to the 18th, Indiana, Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, and Wisconsin. Severe flooding from storms caused already swollen rivers and lakes to flood, killing 10 people, breaking 3 dams, and causing thousands to evacuate their homes. In addition, at least 90 roads are closed. The worst flooding Cedar Rapids, Iowa has ever seen. June 17th, 12 days ago, southern China, the worst flooding in 50 years, kills over 60 people, destroys 5.4 million acres of crops, causing landslides and leaves 13 people missing in 9 southern Chinese provinces. In addition to these natural calamities, we have man-made calamities. Recently, a brother drew my attention to a website. The Royal Bank of Scotland has advised clients to brace for a full-fledged crash in global stock and credit markets over the next 3 months as inflation paralyzes the major central banks. Quote, "A very nasty period is soon to be upon us. Be prepared," said Bob Janjua, the bank's credit strategist. A report by the bank's research team warns that the S&P 500 index of Wall Street equities is likely to fall by more than 300 points to around 1050 by September as all the chickens come home to roost from the excesses of the global boom, with contagion spreading across Europe and emerging markets. You know, in just this past year, it seems that the bottom has fallen out on numerous fronts. Upset weather, floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, cyclones, even in Mid-America. And we're still feeling the effects. Missouri River is supposed to rise again. It's already past flood stage. We look at all these things and we have to ask the crucial question, are you spiritually ready for much worse to come? It may not happen tomorrow, but it will happen. The Bible tells us so. In Joshua's Olivet Prophecy, Joshua lists end time events and keeps going back to the believer in Mark. Chapter 13, verse 5, he says, take heed lest any man deceive you. He says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be troubled. Then in verse 9, he says, take heed for you faithful will be brought before ruling bodies and kings and into houses of worship. And he says, you'll be beaten. But don't worry what you will say. The Holy Spirit will give you that. And you'll be hated of all on account of my name. Verse 13, then he says, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you ready to be thrown into prison and beaten for the truth you hold dear? How will you and I fare when our lives are put on the line? When our lives go from difficult to critical? Consider the following scenario. Bill and Brenda Benson were members of YRM, along with their two children, Ben and Becky. They were a family dedicated to the Word. They kept the Sabbath. They kept the feast days, as Yahweh commanded, especially looking forward to the Feast of Tabernacles, which each year felt like a family reunion. And they gained a lot of spiritual feed. They were invigorated and uplifted and blessed. They supported the ministry in every way. You could always count on them to be at services, Bible studies, and all extracurricular activities. Their family was close-knit, and it was very happy. Sure, they had the occasional trial that all families experience through life, but they weathered those difficulties very well, thanks to their faith. And from all appearances, they were solid in Yahweh. Life was good for the Bensons. Bill and Brenda had been familiar with Bible prophecy most of their lives. They could quote much of what Joshua said in his Olivet Prophecy, and they were aware what events were coming in the latter days and what to watch for. And if it were to come in their lifetimes, they felt that they were prepared. They looked at the broad spectrum of events and felt they were spiritually strong enough to handle it. Then suddenly the unanticipated happened. Bill woke to the news at his bedside radio that the state of Israel, no longer willing to leave its security up to a menacing Iran, attacks Iranian nuclear bomb-making facilities. Immediately, Iran, Syria, and Jordan, along with Hezbollah, Hamas, and Al-Qaeda, launch a counterattack. Rockets rained down all over Israel, killing thousands in Haifa and Tel Aviv. Israeli leaders ponder their nuclear options. Fearing terrorist attacks on their oil fields, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and United Arab Emirates send the military out to defend their oil facilities. Oil jumps overnight to $300 a barrel and $10 a gallon, sending financial markets into a tailspin. Bill Benson always thought that his job of 20 years was secure and stable. But few businesses can survive a worldwide economic meltdown. After 2 decades of dedicated service, he's let go. His search for another job goes on for weeks. No success. It's a severe blow, especially when new jobs are so few and job seekers are so many, as business after business is forced to close or cut back. Each day, more lose their jobs as the economy worsens. Bill has some savings, but for the first time in his life, he feels desperate. Food prices go through the roof and head toward the stratosphere. Shortages are everywhere. For the first time, the Bensons begin to question, why is this happening to them? They had read all the scriptures about overcoming tribulation, but never did they realize it'd be like this. How are they going to manage? Increasingly frustrated, Bill begins to question Yahweh. Was his family not faithful to Yahweh? Why are they being punished? His immovable faith is now faltering. Once regular attendees at Sabbath services, the Benson's attendance is now sporadic. They turn less and less to Yahweh and the scriptures for help and guidance. They miss more Bible studies. Their zeal for Yahweh is beginning to wane under the onslaught of what they and their family is experiencing. The stress they thought they could handle is taking its toll on each family member. Spiritually, they go on life support. Meanwhile, fearing more calamity, people everywhere start hoarding food. There's a run on the grocery stores across the nation. Fist fights erupt at the supermarket as stores across the nation are receiving less and less to sell. Increasingly worried shoppers find less and less available. Shelves, normally filled with canned goods and every other food that you can imagine, are mostly bare. Residents from surrounding cities come looking for food and fuel as gas stations start closing one after another for lack of anything to sell. It's a scene played out not only across the country but around the world. Food riots are becoming commonplace. As the crisis deepens, roving bands learn quickly about anyone who may have food stored at home. Break-ins are common. Residents take up arms to defend their homes from intruders. The National Guard immobilizes. Martial law is imposed to restore order. Panic grips the world's financial markets again. Manufacturing in China is cut in half. 300 million Chinese who had been moved from the countryside to the cities are now unable to support themselves and feed themselves. What are they going to do? The U.S. economy teeters on disaster. Economic tensions escalate. Countless industries and shops either slow their output or close their doors altogether. Unable to make their mortgage payment, the Bensons lose their home and move in with their parents. Others in the congregation do the same, some even tripling up in homes of brethren or relatives. Life for the Bensons had been turned on its head rather quickly. Gone are the happy times when the living was easy and their biggest concern is what were they going to do come the weekend? They had been spoiled and now they feel that Yahweh has abandoned them. Brethren who tried to encourage them are brushed aside. Overcome by despair, having lost the good life, they also have lost all interest in the scriptures. Yahweh promises time and help of need, but that falls on their deaf ears. The Benson family now face the world with total uncertainty, having been cut off from Yahweh and brethren who cared. Little did they realize that this was just the beginning of their sorrows. Far worse lay ahead, and they're now spiritually defenseless and at great risk of losing everything, including life everlasting. Well, our Benson family, of course, is imaginary, but what they face and how they react is certainly not. We need to start considering ourselves in their situation as we see the world go the way it's going. Are we going to hold strong to the faith? We can profess it, but when worse comes to worse and push comes to shove, what are we going to do? In spite of the troubles and calamities we know are coming, are we going to remain strong? Well, the answer depends on where we put our trust and our faith. If it's in possessions, if it's in money, if it's in social status, if it's in talent, ability, then we live in straw homes. Because all of that will wash down the drain once we find ourselves on the brink of disaster, along with the rest of the world. And if it's our only desire to live a comfortable life here and now, I guarantee that we're not going to survive what's coming, perhaps very soon. Tell the Bensons to slide over because we're both traveling down that dead-end road. Paul warns in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, that spiritual strength may well involve nothing less than the ultimate sacrifice. For consider him, Yahshua, he wrote, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We can always count on Yahweh, brethren, but can he count on us? A brother once says, I tell people not Yahweh be with you, but go with Yahweh. Because if you're not going with Yahweh, he's not going to be with you. And unless you seek him out and commit to him, you're going to be walking pretty much alone. From Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter, the great list of the faithful, says that Yahweh has great praise for the faithful who are prepared to give up their lives, and many were. So we must, in our heart, in our desire, in our being, already have given up our present lifestyle and things that we own and all that we have if we're going to be ready for the time coming. How many of us are there yet? How many need to catch up? Of those in Hebrew 11's Faithful Hall of Fame, we read in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They had the faith, but they never saw the fruition. At least not in this world. And were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things clearly declare plainly that they seek a country. They seek something much greater than what we have here. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, Elohim is not ashamed to be called their Elohim, for he has prepared for them a city much greater. You know, it takes a special person to be called, chosen, faithful. And that's why so few are going to be chosen and called and faithful. That's why the way is so narrow. It's so much narrower than people think. And few, Yahshua said, will be who will find it. Very few. Very few. Unless we can tolerate the heat, we're not going to be long in the kitchen. It concerns me how many will stand firm. How many really are going to stand firm. When I see people can't even do the simple stuff, how are they going to last when things really get bad? How are they going to stand? That concerns me greatly. And I mean, with just the little trials that come on everyone, and they get discouraged. What is it going to be when their whole life falls apart? When their whole world falls apart? Are they going to stand with faith? If this general tribulation that everyone's going to undergo has the power to shake their faith, what about when they face the added suffering that being a follower of Yahweh is certain to bring? What kind of toil will that take when they're singled out for special persecution? Brethren, are you willing? If someone comes up to you and says, you either denounce Yahweh or I'm torching your house, are you willing to say, do what you will, but I will never reject my Father in heaven? Are you willing if someone said, denounce Yahweh or I'll take away your family and you'll never see him again? Are you willing to say, no matter what you do to me, I will never give up the faith and life that I have in Yahweh? Brother, unless you come to that point in your spiritual walk and devotion to give up your very life for the sake of the kingdom, you're not ready for tribulation. You're simply not ready. I don't believe you will make it. You'll turn back when the heat is on because you're not totally resigned to give it all up if necessary. Everything. You must have come to the point where nothing else on this planet matters, not even your very life, when it comes to your relationship with Almighty Yahweh. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, Yahshua warned, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Offended. That's a regrettable translation in the King James. Other translations say, many will fall away. Others say, many will turn away from the faith. When they see the cost of the truth, many will turn back. In John 6, verse 66, Yahshua gave the intimate facts about who will be called and chosen. And then we read, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They looked at it. They said the cost was too great. This is my life. Why should I give it all up for something I'm not really certain of anyway? They couldn't handle the truth. It was too much effort. It required too much of them. It wasn't just confess and be saved, as we hear today. It entailed a lifelong sacrifice for the kingdom's sake. In Revelation 2:10, Yahshua admonished us to be faithful unto death, and then I'll give you a crown of life. Many will fall away at the end too. Notice, and then come the false prophets in this passage to lead them in the opposite direction of truth. Their apostasy will be complete. Not only will they give up the truth, but they will chase complete error and go the direction of Hasatan. Well, it's not all gloom and doom, however. In fact, there is hope. There is hope unequaled coming as well. Imagine it like taking the Israelites out of Egypt. Revelation 12:14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. 3.5 years, Yahweh's going to protect his people. Perhaps manna falling again. You know, the Bible is that way. What's happened in the past is repeated in the future. Those miracles that Moses and Aaron performed, there's going to be miracles again when the two witnesses call down from Yahweh. Miracles. And can destroy just with word of mouth. It's going to be a dramatic time. I don't know who these two witnesses are, but what they do is going to be phenomenal. And at that time, when no one else seemingly is around, Yahweh's people are taken into the wilderness. They will do these things for a special time as a witness to Almighty Yahweh and his power. And Yahweh will give protection for many faithful at that time. We read in the verses that follow that Satan will try to drown the faithful. He's going to spew out water. Some believe it might be caves that people will find refuge in. I don't know. Certainly that would be the reason he'd try to drown them out. Like when they cross the Red Sea, that tactic will be thwarted. The earth's going to help the woman, the assembly, with supernatural help. Someone sent me this. I thought that was cute. You know, thanks to Yahweh, there is going to be hope. I don't mean to be scary or anything, but we need to be ready. We need to be thinking about these things because the events that are coming are certainly not going to be pleasant. And I know that one day we'll all have to take a stand one way or another. Those, I guess, who are more visible are going to have to take their stand sooner. But I pray that you do as well, that you find a comfort in Yahweh and don't worry about it. Yahshua says, when you see these things come to pass, know that the end is nigh. When you see wars and rumors of wars, don't be concerned because these things are prophesied to come. But he promises to those that are faithful that they will be granted help, divine help from Almighty Yahweh. I want to turn to Revelation chapter 20. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahshua and for the word of Elohim, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. So not only are they going to be tested to buy into a system, but actually to give obeisance and honor to a beast system and a beast ruler. And these people, even though they suffered death because of it, they're going to reign with Messiah. They lived and reigned, it says, the last part of verse 4, with Messiah 1,000 years. 1,000 years reward, but then it's going to go on after that, of course. It says, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed is holy, and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. This is where the rewards are going to be, brethren. This is where the things that you did in life, the small and the great things for Yahweh, are going to be rewarded through special positions in his kingdom. And on such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is of the sand of the sea. He doesn't give up. He's defeated, but he doesn't give up yet. He still gathers a number of people. Some believe these are the ones who are resurrected into the second resurrection. And he convinces them to join league with him and to attack Yahweh and his people. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And immediately what? Fire comes down from Yahweh out of heaven and devours them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The Greek indicates the smoke of their torment will go up, and they will be a gazing, a memorial for people to say, this is what happens when you defy Yahweh. This is what happens when you decide you have a better way. Our world's full of that, isn't it? We have a better way in this world. We don't need the scriptures. In this postmodern truth is relative world that we live in. But Yahweh says it'll all come to pass. It'll all come to naught. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And again, I believe everybody's written in the book of life until Yahweh takes them out of it. We find that in the Psalms. He has a book of life that he opens up. And anyway, we have them opened. Every man was judged, every man according to his works. And death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So all of that is ahead of us. Ahead of us. But then ultimately, chapter 21, wow. It's like the scene changes. You know, you go to a show or something and they have one scene going on and all of a sudden the curtain comes down. Then it opens up again and wow, it's altogether different. This one is a glorious scene. He sees a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Then he heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men. Tabernacle, dwelling place. We observe tabernacles in the feast, dwelling places, special temporary dwelling places. And so here we have Yahweh coming down, a special abode. He's going to dwell with men. And they shall be his people. And Yahweh himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And then one of the most encouraging passages in the Word. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So we can see the end. So we can see the glorious future is coming. And all of this will be forgotten. You know, man has a tendency to forget the bad stuff. You know, when it's all said and gone, I guess Yahweh does that to our minds. He allows us to forget the terrible stuff we may have gone through. And I think, again, verse 4 says he's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away, no more. Yahweh says, no more. You'll never see it happen again. So it's momentous, the things that are coming on this world, this planet. The rebellion of man, his ultimate last stand, is going to be squashed. And then we're all going to do it Yahweh's way, all of us. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Aleph and Tau, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes, and there is the operative word, the most important word, put it in italics, boldface, underline it, put it in blue script if you want to. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. Imagine failing that and realizing that you have failed it. Like Judah, when he finally realized that 30 pieces of silver wasn't worth his everlasting life. And seeing that, man, if I have just stood a little stronger, lasted a little longer, I could have overcome and inherited all things. And I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, those that are afraid, too afraid to stand out. You know, they say that because of what's happening in our world today and it's gone completely secular, the churches didn't stand up. They didn't stand up to it. They just walked away. They walked away from the fight. They were fearful. They were fearful. They let the culture and its attitudes persuade them that they're not going to stand up against the sins that we see today. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Elohim. You know what the Bible talks about, this city descending? It's interesting. I don't recall it ever saying it lands. It's almost like it's suspended. But anyways, descending out of heaven from Elohim, having the glory of Elohim, and her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. How would you like to be named a name on an angel that stands for you as one of the tribes of Israel? And on the east 3 gates, the north 3 gates, the south 3 gates, and the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lies foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height of it are equal, 1,400 miles cubed, some have calculated. And he measured the wall thereof 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was like jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Gold, but clear. Something I don't know if we've ever seen. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And it goes through all of these precious stones in the next two verses. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. And there again it is, as transparent glass. I don't think you get potholes in this street. transparent glass gold. Describe that. And I saw no temple therein, for Yahweh Elohim Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon. It didn't say there was no sun or moon. It said they had no need of the sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of Elohim did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. They'll walk in Almighty Yahweh. They'll walk in His laws. They'll walk in His will. They'll walk in His judgment. For once, perfection in society. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they, only those who were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then in verse 1 of chapter 22, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Again, remember, things that are past seem to come back in Yahweh's word. Here we have the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees, the leaf of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Just as He said, don't touch the earth till I seal My servants in their forehead. How important is that name? People not only don't know it, they don't realize how important His name is today. And if they do know it, doesn't make any difference. I call Him by one of His 1,020 other names or whatever it is. He has only one name. His word says there is only one name. And there shall be no night, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for Yahweh Elohim gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And then He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And Yahweh Elohim of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And blessed are those who stand firm in the face of the coming trials and tribulations that are going to rack this world. Blessed are they, Yahweh says, for they shall be My people, and they shall be in My kingdom and serve Me for eternity. May we remain strong and not be discouraged by things that are coming, but look to Yahweh always and be resolved that nothing's going to stand between us and our Father. May Yahweh bless you.